You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Absence does make the heart grow fonder. It is great to be back in the studio tonight after being on the road for about 10 days. That included two Saturdays. So this is actually the first time in three Saturdays I have been in the studio, and it feels good. I got in here a little bit early tonight to do a little prep work on the show, and I hugged my microphone stand and headset and all this nice equipment, the smell of electronics here at the radio station. I missed it. You know, it was great to be gone on vacation with my family. Of course, that's first and foremost. But, you know, even as I was with my parents and my brother and my wife and my two children, you know, the show is like a child to me as well. And it truly, I called into Memphis from every day on the road to make sure that the show had brushed its teeth and done its homework and hadn't gotten into any trouble. I spent a little bit of time every day doing some sort of work related to the duties of being the Political Cesspool's host, and I couldn't even truly be on vacation, you know, because this show is so dear to me. And I found myself calling in from the side of the interstate, from hotel rooms, from wherever I needed to get a few minutes of airtime on the show the last couple of weeks. And we had a couple of fun shows, I think. We spent some time a couple of weeks ago revisiting some classic broadcasts. And then, of course, last week we had a live three-hour hodgepodge with Winston Smith getting in some time in the second hour. I interviewed Mark Weber. Keith and I were on along with Sean Bergen in last week's first hour. But to be back in the studio at full strength, it feels good. And it feels good to see Keith Alexander again. Keith, how are you?
Doing great, man. Great to have you back. I know you're rested and refreshed and ready to come back like a tiger.
That's right. No high blood pressure, no seeing spots after the 10 days in Florida. It did a body good and a mind good, and everybody needs a little rest. But I did miss the rigors of the front lines, and to be back in here for 3 hours, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. And before we get to our first topic, of course, I want to remind you that we had a little atrophy in the online chat room with me being on the road. We didn't really promote it the last couple of weeks, even though it was up and running, of course, there at the Council of Conservative Citizens site. So I'm in there now, and I'm happy to be back and talking to all of the folks that are in there. We would like for you to join us there if you haven't done so in the last couple of weeks in my absence, at least absence from Memphis. Now's the time. CFCC.org. Come on in the chat room. And, of course, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can link over to the chat room from the top posting on our blog roll there right now. So come to the chat room, talk with us, and let's enjoy these next 3 hours together. And, you know, Keith, I was reminded on the last day of my vacation why this show is so vitally important. You know, we were in our hotel having breakfast last Sunday morning. And Sunday is really the day, you know, political insiders know, the Sunday morning television talk shows are really the creme de la creme when it comes to addressing the most important topics with the most important guests. Now, we know we have many networks now that broadcast 24/7 political news coverage, but the Sunday morning shows are really supposedly the best of the best, right?
Well, traditionally they were, but I think that's ancient history now, but go ahead.
Well, nevertheless, I mean, that's the reputation that they've had, and in any case. So they've got it on primetime Sunday morning, and for at least 20 minutes, I was watching the host. I can't remember if it was CNN or ABC, NBC, whichever. I mean, they're all the same, of course, but interviewing a blogger that broke the story, quote-unquote, that George Stephanopoulos contributed to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Now, if that's not a shocker of all shockers, now, this is a guy who was, what, Bill Clinton's communications director in his first campaign for the White House in 1992, George Stephanopoulos owes his entire career in the media to being a crony for the Clintons. So is it some big shock that he would donate to Hillary Clinton? But here they were. They found out that he donated it because, I mean, God knows none of these people are biased, right? I mean, all of these reporters are just in it for the who, what, where, when, and why. They don't let their political opinions at all get involved with their work. But, I mean,
we're waiting for a real stalwart like Sean Hannity to step up, right? You know, Sean Hannity carries on about George Stephanopoulos. He's as much in the tank as George Stephanopoulos. I'm sorry for the managerial state and the left-wing media industrial complex.
Well, who wouldn't assume that Stephanopoulos is donating to the Clintons? But here's the thing. So on this primetime Sunday morning talk, here's this blogger, you know, an obscure anonymous blogger that somehow, I guess, deduced that Stephanopoulos had donated to Hillary Clinton. And this is new. So then it got me thinking, I mean, thank God there is a major American media voice explicitly pro-white that is out there talking about the news that really matters, talking about immigration, talking about racial realities, talking about having a very objective and candid conversation about the overwhelming amount of Jewish power and influence and dominance in our media. You know, this is what they should be talking about. You know, imagine if you had been interviewed on that show, Keith, rather than this blogger who's talking for 20 minutes about George Stephanopoulos' campaign contributions, as if that is scandalous at all. I mean, it should just be assumed that that was going on. I don't see how this is news at all. It's like Hillary Clinton's emails. She has a private email account. I mean, who cares? I don't see how this is news, but all of these manufactured news stories, and this is just the cream of the crop. I guess they have to have something. I mean, 90% of their stories are anti-white bias.
Well, they have to have something to distract the public from the real issues. We bring the real issues to the fore. That's why we are persona non grata with the mainstream, but we're on mainstream media. And that makes us unique. It also makes us a voice in the wilderness.
Well, they don't know what to do with us, and, you know, that's for sure. They haven't been able to get rid of us, and we continue to grow, and we have verifiable standards of measurement that suggest, if not prove outright, that we are driving more traffic, at the very least online, than nationally syndicated talkers on Sirius XM, for example. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there's just so much. I mean, you just look back over the course of this year alone, being denounced by the United States Congress. You know, Scoop Stanton getting the credentials to go to CPAC. I mean, we are, you know, very much in the conversation. We are players in this game, and we are the only ones providing a voice, again, as I say, for our people. And we're going to be doing that tonight, just like we've been doing it every night for over 10 years. And, of course, that is a direct result, ladies and gentlemen, of your prayerful and financial support. Without you, we would not be here. We would not have a seat at the table. We would not have a toehold in the mainstream media, in the establishment media, for our kinsmen. But because of you, we do. And we're going to give them one tonight, aren't we, Keith?
Well, you know, the hour is late, folks. We are really coming to the 11th hour or beyond that. I don't know how America can avoid, you know, going over the cliff, going over the falls in a barrel, unless the voice that we're providing causes a true conservative backlash that is going to sweep to real power. For example, I was listening to Christian radio on the way into the show tonight, in the way to the station, and it said that as recently as 10 years ago, 4 out of 5 Americans were opposed to gay marriage. Now, 4 out of 5 think it's going to be the law of the land in less than 5 years.
Well, it could be this summer by the time the Ginsburgs and Sotomayors at the Supreme Court have their say. And we're going to talk about that. And in fact, Keith, you read my mind, as you so often do. That is actually a topic for conversation forthcoming tonight, but we're just getting started. Welcome again, everybody, to the Political Cesspool. We'll be back right after this.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Two days that can save your life. The Preppers and Patriots Expo, Baxter County Fairgrounds, Mountain Home, Arkansas, May 30th and 31st, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 36 expert speakers covering emergency medicine, survival food, water filtration, wilderness survival, solar power, wind power, gardening, self-defense, archery. See a pickup truck that runs on firewood, no gasoline needed. Learn suturing and save a life. What herbs can replace pharmaceuticals? Ham radio, home steam engines. Don't be scared, be prepared with 2 days that can save your life. Free admission, a family event, children are welcome. PreppersandPatriots.net. Only a few vendor tables left. Call 417-264-2435. 417-264-2435.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, one more reminder. Join us now in the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party hosted by our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens. You can go there directly at cfcc.org. Or just go to our website, which we know you all have bookmarked, thepoliticalcesspool.org, top entry in the blog roll, link right on over to the chat room, and there you will find me sitting in the chat room as I sit in the studio, and Keith's over here monitoring it as well. So, all right. Oh, and while you're at the blog, by the way, go to the entry family time. I have to do a little self-indulgence here. I've got this picture of myself, my son, and my six-month-old son, and my five-year-old daughter walking out in the ocean in this picturesque paradise. Anyway, I was proud of it. Yeah, I'm very proud of my family and my extended family, which is all you fine people listening out there tonight, and that's why we do this radio show. We are here to serve you in a cause far greater than ourselves and to make sense of stories. You know, there really shouldn't be a need for the political cesspool. I mean, what we talk about here is basically what everyone understood. Anyone with a modicum of common sense understood pretty much everything we say on this show week in and week out to just be a basic, fundamental, and obvious truth. But now that the world has decayed so much and society
70 years ago, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 40, 30, 20, almost 10. You know, what we say that apparently is outside the mainstream now was mainstream as recent as 10 years ago. And that shows you the warp speed at which liberalism is triumphantly transforming our society and culture. It is, and it is not a change for the better, folks. We're going to get into this in the second hour, but basically what started with the Brown decision is not finished with us yet, and we're now about to do something with gay marriage that has not been done in any part of Western civilization since the reign of Caligula. Caligula, we're going back to the depths of sordidness that typified Caligula's Rome. And it's got, we're going not with a bang, but with a whimper.
As did Rome. And, you know, and we've said that time and time again. That's been one of the things we've repeated on this program. If we're going to behave like the new Rome, then we'll pay the price that Rome paid. And certainly we are rapidly approaching that destination. Well, speaking of the so-called homosexual marriage, listen to what's going on in South Africa. Now, it would seem as though reasonable and decent people would be concerned with the genocide that is going on over in South Africa with the white farmers and the white residents of South Africa, the citizens of South Africa, just being absolutely butchered. It is like full-scale genocide. Full-scale genocide going on there. Nobody could care less in positions of power. But listen to what happened in South Africa in the last few days, and we posted this at our website. So if you are a woman in South Africa who gives birth to a child, you get 8 weeks maternity leave. Pretty standard. If you are a woman who adopts a child, you get 4 weeks maternity leave. Okay. That's fair enough.
That was rough on the body.
Right. Only half as bad, apparently. But so some homosexuals over there, the sodomite couple, two men, were upset that their work was not offering them maternity leave after they adopted a child, which should be child abuse. It is child abuse, and it should be illegal. But nevertheless, they sued, and they won. And now it is mandated by South African courts that all employers in South Africa give not 4 but 8 weeks paid maternity leave to any homosexual couple who adopts a child. So they actually get 4 more weeks than a legitimate married couple.
They don't get to retire, you know, entirely from work.
And this is the thing.
Full pension.
This is the thing, though. So you've got this Christian Democratic Party over there who said absolutely nothing in response to this despicable and abhorrent ruling that two men would get more time for adopting a child than a woman, and as much time as a woman who actually gave birth.
Well, I agree they ought to get time, but I think prison time is time.
Right. Apparently, the African Christian Democratic Party had the time and energy on that very same day that this ruling was presented to condemn by press release an attack on three Jewish teenagers is anti-Semitic and completely unacceptable. Now, this attack was probably a dirty look at them, but they chose to remain silent on this court ruling. And complete and utter silence seems to be the way the church has opted to go on a lot of these issues. And that's sad. And we're going to be talking about counterfeit Christianity in the third hour of tonight's broadcast with my pastor, no less, who's going to be back for the second time this year. He was with us on Easter. But, you know, this is absolutely disgusting, Keith. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And this, again, is what we're talking about. Why should we have to say this at all? Why are we wasting time talking about this? Because apparently everybody else is too scared to. It is truly just like the
you
emperor.
Know, it is really amazing talking about counterfeit Christianity that even fundamentalist churches, ones that supposedly are biblically based and look totally to the Bible for their guidance and for their inspiration, there is now a movement where I would say it's approaching fully half of these churches now are that the code word is affirming. They're affirming of homosexuality. They're concluding that the Bible was wrong. Okay, now we used to talk about inerrancy of Holy Scripture. Now they're prepared, these people who are the bastion defenders of the sanctity of Holy Scripture and of the Bible as being the Word of God, that the Bible was wrong about homosexuality. It shouldn't be condemned. It should be affirmed. And we should be trying to support homosexuals in loving, stable relationships when the Bible says it's not just a sin, it's an abomination. I'm somewhat confused by all of this. You know, I'm not a fundamentalist Christian, as you know. I'm, a Protestant, but I'm not a member of a fundamentalist denomination. And, you know, quite frankly, this blows me away. I used to think that fundamentalists were going to be the faithful remnant, the salt and the light. And now, if anything, they're even more corrupt than the mainline Protestant denominations like the Presbyterians, Methodists, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, people like that, because they not only have embraced the social gospel with a zeal at least equal to, if not greater than, that of the mainline Protestants. They have compounded their sin by adopting a totally bizarre, unorthodox position called dual covenantism or Jewish dispensationalism, where basically we are all supposed to disregard the fact that Jews, one, were the first enemies of our faith, two, the most consistent enemies of our faith throughout the history of Christianity, and three, killed our God. And they are now the chosen people, and Israel, we have to support Israel in everything that they do. I have never seen the church in such dire straits in my life, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, I don't want to go too much further into that right now because it's so funny because you didn't have any idea what was planned for tonight's third hour. In fact, my pastor is going to be coming on tonight to talk about the five fundamentals of Christianity, what you have to believe in order to be not just a cultural Christian but a Bible-believing Christian.
Being an Episcopalian, we know what the fundamentals are. It's called the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. That's why we used to say that. It was hammered out by the early church at the Council of Nicaea. But, you know, this is I don't think there's anything that the left can't do now through their control of the media, through their control of the entertainment industry. They can get us all to believe that black is white and white is black, if they so desire.
And
this is proof of the pudding.
And here's the political cesspool here to tell you what the colors truly are. And we'll talk more about that. We also have a petition that we have posted or reposted to help the white South Africans who are being genocided there in the nation that they civilized, basically. We're trying to help them get back to their countries of origin. And I believe it's up to almost 30,000 signatures now, so we're very excited about that. We'll talk more about that after the break.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Getting back to South Africa, if we could, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got this petition that has been circulating, making the rounds on some of the websites of the usual suspects, and I mean that in the best possible way. Petition in support of white South Africans who are just being ravaged and savaged over there by the natives. And, you know, any decent country, you know, that has any concerns. I mean, this goes beyond racial concerns. I'm just talking about if there's any country that legitimately concerns itself with humanitarianism, as all of these Western countries pretend to do. If they concern themselves at all with genocide, as they all pretend to do, they should be front and center in South Africa, either putting an end to the genocide and helping the Afrikaners reclaim their country, or at least, at the very least, helping to extract them to their nations of origins from whence their ancestors came. But of course, that's not going on. This is the forgotten genocide. This is the little genocide and the raping and the murdering of people who do not matter. And that is poor white people, for the most part, and Christians. A lot of them are. So we've got this petition, you know, for what good it will do. How much good will it do? Who knows? But it can't hurt, and it's only going to take you a couple of minutes to fill it out and sign the online petition. I did it. Again, I will never ask you to do anything that I am not willing to do myself first. And so I signed it. And we ask you to do so as well. It's up to about 30,000 signatures, so that's fairly significant, I guess you could say. But Keith was in the green room getting some more grapes. You know, Keith can eat a loom of grapes per segment. I've never seen a man who can eat, put away fruit like this fella. But I was talking, Keith, about the countries that pretend to be concerned with humanitarianism and genocide, but yet here in South Africa they couldn't care less. I wonder if it has to do anything at all with who the victims are in this case.
It has to do with race, of course. Quite frankly, any person that is merely objective about what populations of people throughout the world are in danger of genocide, white South Africans would be at the top of the list. It's more dangerous to be a white in South Africa than it is to be a Christian in Somalia, okay? That's how bad it is, and it's totally ignored. It's totally ignored by the mainstream media. It's totally ignored by our government and the governments of every white nation throughout the world. And you have to ask yourself, why has this anti-white fashion become so pervasive that basically they will lie about the most basic reality that is out there right now, which is that white South Africans are being slaughtered right, left, and sideways in South Africa, but no one is suggesting that they even be allowed to emigrate, much less get refugee status and get expedited treatment so they can come here.
You've got all of these heads of state in Europe, particularly in Scandinavia, just falling over themselves with concern and wringing their hands if some Somalian falls out of the raft and drowns in the ocean. You know, they can't stand that. But these are actually their people. You know, especially, I guess most of these people probably came from Western Europe instead of Scandinavia.
Well, see, liberalism is misnamed. Liberalism was developed in the writings of John Locke. Modern liberalism has nothing to do with John Locke. It has everything to do with the cultural Marxists, Horkheimer, Lukács, Gramsci, people like that, who said that the real fault line in human society is not economic class, not even religion, it's race. And they have demonized the white race to such a point that it's now second nature for white churches in America, for example, to ignore the plight.
Yeah, see, this is, you know, if they had lived in Kenya and been black, I'm sure most of the churches would be over there with some sort of humanitarian relief.
Bellevue Baptist would be sending a delegation over there. They would be sending missionaries over there. They'd be sending tons of money over there. So would the Southern Baptist Convention.
And this is the thing. Every other group.
But no, this group, right, they're invisible. They apparently, it's like a dog whistle. Their screams for help are so high-pitched that the churches in America and in Europe can't hear them.
Well, and that's the thing. And, we are almost like Jekyll and Hyde to some extent. I know you're a Christian, Keith. I do consider myself, for the record, to be a fundamentalist Christian. But, you know, and I'm going to be defending Christianity, the faith of our fathers, in the third hour tonight. You know, but the thing about the churches is that you have to remember, folks, is it's not matters of faith that are in question, at least to me. It's, you know, you say, well, the churches... Well, to be polite, aren't perfect, but to say more that they're actually doing harm. Well, the reason they're not perfect is because they're made up of people, and these people that go to church are just
problem is we have people that are not committed to the Word of God. They have turned over their allegiance to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and instead embrace the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's more important to be their true religion now, and this is in most denominations. This is not. Something that this is Roman Catholicism, this is mainline Protestantism, this is fundamentalist Protestantism. They all basically, their true religion now seems to be liberalism, not Christianity.
Well,
whenever liberalism and Christianity butt heads, you can depend on liberalism winning.
They may truly believe in the salvation of Christ, but the problem is they are as susceptible to anyone else to the pressure of in the anxiety of being called a name, and they're just going to take the path of least resistance.
Whatever happened to that muscular faith that allowed people to be martyred and killed in the early church, in the Middle Ages, people to be burned at the stake? Instead, people are afraid of being called the R word. That apparently is the terrors of being called the R word are worse than being burned at the stake.
It's a societal problem. It's a societal problem, and this problem has also permeated the churches as well as every other institution. The churches have not been exempt to this disease. The disease has spread through the seminaries and into the halls of these churches.
Well, I think it was Eric Hoffer who said that every religion starts out as a faith, then becomes a business, and then devolves into a racket. Well, we're apparently in the last throes of that now, because apparently the people that run our denominations don't really have an allegiance to the Word of God. If the Word of God says one thing and liberalism says something else, well, they're going to find some way for liberalism to win. And they're going to preach that from their pulpits. And if that's not apostasy, I don't know what is.
Well,
Dave.
You know, it's not Sunday morning yet, so we'll forego the preaching at least for another hour. Because I do have my it's amazing because I do have my pastor coming on tonight. This is a show that is shaping up to primarily look at issues through the lens of Christianity, and it's certainly racial issues, Jewish power and influence, matters of faith, culture. You know, this is the recipe, and these are the ingredients that, make for any good political cesspool broadcast. But I do want to quickly circle back to this, the South African petition. Sign it again, ladies and gentlemen. You can do so at our website. And we've got pictures of these kids that are living in shantytowns, these young girls. You know, if your heart doesn't break for the plight of these children who live in constant fear of either their death or the murdering of their parents because every one of their ancestral homelands have turned their back on them because they're white, then you are subhuman. And so,
Well, you do need to reconsider calling yourself a Christian, I will say that.
Well, there you go. Hey, amen, Brother Keith. All right, Wells Fargo. But meanwhile, back here in America, we've got this repulsive Wells Fargo commercial. Now, this is a national television ad, not being run just in the local markets of San Francisco or Key West, but, across the nation, you've got this this lesbian couple who are adopting a deaf child, and it's, of course, supposed to tug on the heartstrings of anyone watching. And Wells Fargo is just so brave and courageous that they are going to help, give this lesbian couple the financial standing they need to become a real family. And so
how times have changed. Wells Fargo is a name that I grew up thinking about the Wild West. It was associated with all these Westerns on TV and in the movies that I saw back in the 50s and the 60s. Now, The West is defined and by Wells Fargo's city of where they're headquartered, San Francisco. So you can expect San Francisco, Wells Fargo to take the San Francisco approach to things like this. We're supposed to all see, we're being psychologically conditioned.
Yeah, and it's weak-minded people. Only a weak-minded person. How many weak-minded people must we have to allow this conditioning to influence us? And we talked about this at lunch yesterday, Keith. We've got this mother, and there's a story about this on our website. So many must-read stories on our website this week, but this mother who has a 3-year-old son, and she's so concerned. Her biggest concern is that he may grow up to one day be a quote-unquote homophobe. So she wrote in to this lesbian asking her for her advice on how to help keep her son from becoming a homophobe. And the lesbian wrote back saying, well, you got to make sure he understands that families aren't just made up of a husband and a wife. It can be two daddies or two mommies. But did you know that if you have not yet considered that your son may already be a homosexual, that you are breeding a... You are actually raising him in a breeding ground of intolerance yourself. You are the intolerant one.
And if he's not a homosexual, if you want him to not be a homophobe, why don't you try to make him a homosexual? I guess that would be the advice, the next step. It's crazy.
It's sickness, folks. We're the elixir. Come here and get your medicine, ladies and gentlemen. Line up. We're dishing it out here on the Political Cesspool.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We're going to be shifting gears in the second hour and talking about a couple of other topics unrelated to the topics of the first hour. And then in the third hour, We'll talk about some things somewhat related to topics we've already covered tonight, not knowing we were going to cover them to the extent that we did. You never know what we're going to do in the political cesspool. It may change by 10 minutes from now. But we do know right now we've got Scoop Stanton on the line, and he may be calling in to talk about his very favorite political commentator, the one and only Melissa Harris Perry. You know, if it's a woman with three names and a hyphen, she's going to be rock solid. Scoop, go ahead.
All right. Good evening, everybody, the cesspool family. As you know, I once in a while talk about Ms. Harris Perry and her subject matter or her guests or something like that. But recently, just watching her just made me sick. So what she likes to do is do a smarmy, snarky, very condescending open letter targeting conservatives. But here's one from me to her. Just let you know, Ms. Harris Perry, or all three of them, didn't be condescending to the Pope and a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. But anyways, here's my letter to her. It's not smarmy, cute, or even polite. Hey, tampon ears, what the hell is wrong with you? Way to continue the line of female journalism. I don't think Barbara Walters, Diane Sawyer, Jane Pauley, Katie Couric would use tampon earrings. Your show needs to be on the Onion Network. Your panels are people on the ultra left, and on the other side, people on the very ultra left. One of your experts on being black in America is Michael Skolnick, a Caucasian man of Jewish descent that grew up in one of the wealthiest areas of the nation working for Russell Simmons, a multimillionaire. You ranted on one show that there is nothing worse than being poor in America, and people in her neighborhood are constantly being shot. Yet you owe $70,000 in back taxes to the IRS. I don't think I even paid $70,000 in taxes in my entire lifetime. Maybe your neighborhood's not that bad at all. Perhaps you're stretching the truth a little bit. Then later, you and your panel made fun of Mitt Romney's adopted black grandchild. No class. Then you had to make it by yourself by literally crying crocodile tears the next week. Lady, people on this show received death threats. Lots of them. And we're still here. Then later, you told college kids that you wish Trayvon Martin beat up George Zimmerman real good using language not friendly to FCC airways. Way to continue to fan the flames on a tragedy when one of them is buried in the ground. Your greatest embarrassment was with Attorney General Eric Holder. You told him that the staff on your show call him the duck. Well, no, they don't. All the issues going on, and you embarrassed the Attorney General by asking him to quack like a duck. Are you on Comedy Central or a network dedicated to covering news and current events? Now, here's where I really get insulting. You make your bread and butter criticizing police and mourning the lives of black men killed by either police or non-black men. You never, ever talk about black men killed by other black men. It's still an epidemic, Tuts. You mentioned Trayvon, Michael, Eric, Freddie, and the rest. Meanwhile, people like Robert, Terrence, and Josie are not even mentioned. Who are these people? Are they gentle giants who are victims of police brutality? No. Victims of evil white cops? No. Try members of the law enforcement community that died at the hands of black men despite being black themselves. You never mention any of these heroes. Instead, you have a panel of cop haters week after week after week. It gets old real fast. We all know that there's bad cops and dealt with accordingly. But to go after those who bring law and order in a lawless society, your end result was Baltimore. You, the president, the attorney general, the mayor of Baltimore, the state attorney of Baltimore City, Al Sharpton and the rest of you bozos helped burn down Baltimore and then help it turn
here,
it
here.
Twice. You're also helping put more officers in caskets than on the beat. That's the FBI's opinion research, not mine. And your reward for all this? No ratings, no recognition for being a legitimate journalist, and getting clowned by all your colleagues on all of the channels in this show. Keep up the good work, you nincompoop. Back to the studio.
Well, you know, thankfully, you got to wash out the bitter taste of having to subject yourself to Melissa Harris Perry by taking in a viewing of 48 Hours the other night, starring our good friend Sonny Landham. Although, did you turn it off after Eddie Murphy shoots Sonny in that, Scoop, or did you keep on trucking?
No, I watched it all the way through.
Well, you know, Keith, I'll tell you what. I mean, Scoop's certainly onto something here. They're all anti-white, including Fox, but none of them are as bad They're close. CNN, close. None of them as bad as MSNBC. MSNBC.
And that's why MSNBC has the worst ratings of them all. And by the way, it's just, it's almost like if a guy has a last name ending with B-E-R-G, you take it to the bank, he's Jewish, right? If a woman has one of these hyphenated last names and she's prominent in the news media, take it to the bank, she's black, right? It's just, why is everything so predictable? Why are they trying to encode themselves so that there's no plausible deniability? We know what we're going to get from these type of people. We know we're going to get buffoonery. We know we're going to get nothing but vitriol and hatred and acid coming from these people. Why does anybody, as soon as I hear that name, I'm ready to turn the
channel.
That's
right. Amen. You know, Keith, you're onto something here, but I'll tell you what Scoop did that's great. Number one, I mean, he hit the nail on the head in saying that show truly deserves to be, you know, you would think it was created at the Onion. I mean, it's almost farcical. But you have to laugh at them, and you have to confront them, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this thing about being passive that white people do so much and not taking the battle to the enemy and hiding and saying nothing, hoping that the plague is going to pass over our homes, well, it's not going to. And so here at the Political Cesspool, I mean, we fight back. We fight back. And here's Scoop, you know. What good's it going to do to send her an email? I don't know. But at least he's letting people know his opinion. And that's what we all need to be doing in any way that we can.
Yeah, he's talking back to this figure of authority with three names or a hyphenated last name.
What does
what
she
type
spell?
Of woman doesn't want to marry and take her husband's name? Well, that should be an indicator right there.
Well, I don't know if she wants to marry a husband at all, or at least a male husband.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. You know, again, you know, and you were talking to us about the guy that was riding that train, that Amtrak train that caused the
crash.
That
was Scoop. Yeah, that was Scoop as well.
I know, Scoop had that, but then on the other hand, you had some special insight into that guy. That guy came from Bartlett, Tennessee, where he was a reporter for a newspaper who viciously attacked you when you ran for public office here for the Tennessee State Legislature, and you told me he was a homosexual.
Well, I said I was, you know, it looked as though he would be a prime candidate. I mean, I think at that time he was 18, so who can say for sure? But he, you know, certainly he turned out, and Scoop again was the one who
and, you know, again, this may sound extreme in today's society, but as recently as 1972, the American Psychiatric Association designated homosexuality as a neurosis. Maybe this guy was neurotic. Maybe if we had the same standards we had then, he would not have been driving a train.
We talked about that. And we can talk about that more in the second hour. I want to be sure Scoop gets the remaining time, this being his segment and all. But no, that is something that we want to revisit, because I didn't have a lot of time to explore that a couple of weeks ago on the road. But Scoop, again, kudos to you for bringing the Amtrak story to us and connecting the dots there and opening my eyes to the fact of who that conductor was or engineer. I still get those confused. And, of course, for tonight with your salvo to Melissa Harris-Perry. Anything else on your end, brother?
Yes. In Baltimore today, Governor Martin O'Malley declared his candidacy for president. And he did it on the one square yard of Baltimore City that hasn't burned or turned into Lord of the Flies. That being said, of course, there's people screaming about police brutality in Baltimore when, in fact, Baltimore police said, you know what, we're done with this. Y'all crucified us in the media. The state attorney doesn't have our back. So, and then when we go to a call for service, we get 30, 40 people all in our grill. And so we're just going to answer 911 calls. Instead of being proactive, they're going to be a reactive police department. And then people are
last one out, turn out the lights.
There's no more cops on the corner. They're not doing their job. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, back in the day, even before Freddie Gray, all day, all night, Baltimore's finest did their job, because they got calls all day, literally all day, all night, for people with guns, people selling drugs on the street, and still to this day. Yesterday, I was listening to Baltimore City police traffic. Downtown near the Inner Harbor, some lady pulled a knife on a traffic officer, and there was another call, somebody with a rifle walking down another street, and there's somebody selling dope on a street corner. You know, things haven't changed in Baltimore, except response time has gotten a lot longer, and the cops, they're hiding, so you get what you pay for, and, you know, and I don't see why people are still screaming about police brutality, because, believe me, the people need to be out there, and the cops need to be out there in the street of Baltimore City.
Well, this is what happened to Detroit, Scoop. See, Detroit, basically, the white people generally, and the police force in particular, said, last one out, turn out the lights. We're not going to be concerned about this anymore. That's how Detroit became the emblem of urban dysfunction in the United States, and Baltimore apparently is not far behind.
And I talked about this with Sean Bergen last week, who Scoop arranged to be on the program. So again, hat tip to Scoop on that. But I told Sean, I said, you know, what reasonably thinking cop would put his neck on the line to go out there and enforce the law by the book, knowing that if he runs afoul of political correctness, he's either going to lose his job at best or go to jail at worst. I mean, I would sit in the car until my shift was over and do as little as possible. Scoop, final word to you.
Exactly, James. And just before the music starts playing, y'all got to go on to your local Fox affiliate website, check out Charlie the Duff's latest article called The Corridor of Corrosion. There's a gentleman in Philadelphia talking about how he's the minority in Philadelphia, and nobody's giving him anything. I swear, I saw that, and I said, man, this guy must be a listener.
Here on the Liberty News.
Send it to us, Scoop, and we'll put it up on the website. Thanks again, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Everybody else will be back in just a few minutes, second hour. Come